from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? Because you had
a bad day. Brandon Cooks slides up to the top portion of your screen. And in that direction, it's intercepted. He was throwing for Cooks, but Kendall Fuller has a takeaway, and that's a Commander's touchdown.
Why are you guys on better team?
I'm not going to tell you that, right? I mean, what do you expect me to say right now? We just got beat.
For Cooks. His hands and caught but out of bounds. Let's see if they rule that a catch. Derek Forrest, did he stay in bounds? The official says he did. Here comes another official to discuss.
Wait, what the hell are we doing?
Allen fires to the end zone, wide open touchdown, and there he is, Stephon Diggs. Fake to Jacobs. Carr loads up. Adams is open. Walk-off touchdown. A sweep of the Broncos for Las Vegas.
Bounces. Gabe Davis lost it. And it's a scramble for it out of bounds. Ronnie Harrison had a great chance for Cleveland to come up with that one and could not secure it.
Oh, Brendan deked me. Hey, I thought we were going to be here sad and pouty, and everybody in the press conference is going to be upset, and everybody's going to say bench Davis Mills, fire Pep Hamilton, find somebody else. I don't understand why the city's so upset. Like, it's Thanksgiving weekend. The Texans are doing their part of embracing the suck. They're about to have a franchise quarterback next year. I'm sitting there taking in NFL Sunday. How could the week go any better? The Texans lose, the Browns lose, the Raiders win. Why is everybody so mad?
I couldn't figure it out either. All the Embrace the Suckers had one hell of a weekend, and it couldn't have gone any better. And I remember all the hate I was getting from the get-go of creating Embrace the Suck. Everybody coming at me, I can't do that, I won't do that, and they won't do that. Yeah. They're going to be this, and they're going to be that. And then we found out who Davis Mills really is. And we found out just how far away this entire roster really could be. And now people are really embracing the suck.
Yeah, it's funny how, like, they're going, not only are they embracing the suck, but they're, like, angry at the suck. Which, maybe it's because our perspective at the start of the season was different. Maybe because our perspective at the start of the season was like, this roster ain't very good. This quarterback has lots of questions. We were pretty low on Davis Mills. Lovie Smith, the day after he was hired, by the way, like, we were sitting here saying, this is kind of a mediocre hire. Why is everybody celebrating? They basically hired from within for a 4-win team a year ago. I think that kind of, like, our understanding of what the Texans were going to be has positioned us to, I don't want to say enjoy the season, but has positioned us not to be
overly emotional, yeah.
Sad,
yeah.
Mad, angry, dislike, you know, all of the negative words that we're seeing. Like, we're going to talk about the Brian T. Smith conversation with Lovie Smith. I don't mind it, but at the same time, like, do you really want to see Kyle Allen as the quarterback? Like, what is the change going to be at defensive end that's going to make this team better? So, like, there's really not a whole lot that this team can do. And if you had realistic expectations at the start of the season, I think you're fine where you're at today. Like, you know the Texans are lousy. Yes, they're not well coached. Yes, they have a poor roster. Yes, they're worse than they were a year ago, despite adding, you know, significant draft capital to this team. But look, I mean, we're going into week 12 of the NFL season. The Texans have the top pick of the draft. The Browns lost yesterday. You got some more separation from the Raiders, who won in overtime against a very disappointing Denver team. And the Raiders have been very disappointing as well.
Yep.
Like, this just isn't going to change in 2022. It's not fixable. They're still a good, time away before the Texans are relevant again in the landscape of the NFL.
I think as much as this Mills Mafia wanted to have this ambush effect on the market, the league, and have this Cinderella story come to fruition, I think the reason why we were okay with him being the quarterback for a full season is because of the fact that he would allow you to possibly tank without having to tank. And if you did, on the flip side, find out he had talent, well, then you can develop him on the fly and you could be in a Russell Wilson situation. And I don't think either one of us thought, look, the chances are better that that happens than him absolutely crapping the bed. But either way, we said that the most ideal scenario was that he plays the whole year. He does you the solid of getting you to another high draft pick and draft class to rebuild another big portion of this roster. And you don't have to try and do what Nick Caserio did the initial time he had the press conference before the start of last season, trying to set the table for Embrace the Suck by saying, don't judge us on wins and losses.
Mm.
So he did what he was supposed to do. They're doing what they're supposed to do. And now it's like people are finally getting on board with the fact that it might be okay in the long run.
But they've even went like overboard to the point where like they're demanding changes, which like what's that going to do? You replace your offensive coordinator? Okay. Like the Texans are still going to be lousy. They are what they are. I don't think Pep Hamilton's a good OC. I think Lovie Smith is not a good head coach. Told you this the day after he was hired. They're bottom third of the NFL. But like they're also playing chess with a bunch of pawns. Like they really don't have a chance. I don't think that they're very good to begin with, but then they don't have a chance. Whenever you have Davis Mills missing just a standard out route in the NFL by 3 yards behind his receiver leading to a pick six, can't win with it, right? Who was it that said that? Singletary, Mike Singletary? Can't win with it. Can't do it. Like that's what the Houston Texans roster is for Lovie Smith, for Pep Hamilton. Can't win with it. Can't do it. The talent just isn't there for the Houston Texans. OG saying you can't embrace the suck before a single game has ever been played. Yeah, you can.
You can.
If you have realistic expectations and you can take a pulse of its talent compared to the rest of the NFL, and you're not just some like, you know, Texans fanboy that's drinking the Battle Red Kool-Aid and the Deep Still Blue Kool-Aid and the Liberty White Kool-Aid, you know, whatever one you're having that day of the week, and you didn't expect this team to win 7 or 8 games, like it wasn't it wasn't outside of the realm of possibility that the Texans would be here in this spot right now with one win on the year, one tie on the year. We were talking about this game all week, Blankers, about how this is the second most winnable game for the Houston Texans remaining on their schedule, and they got dominated by the second most winnable game on their schedule. Now, maybe we were underrating the Commanders a little bit, but the point still stands. The Texans got abused, dominated by a Commander team that was probably the second most winnable game left on its schedule when we started talking about it last week.
Look, I mean, but again, some of the people that are sitting there saying that at the start of the year, this was a possible playoff team.
Yeah, that's just ridiculous.
That was so ludicrous, but yet they were so adamant, it was almost as bad as thinking Davis Mills was suddenly going to be Wonder Boy.
Top 10 quarterback in the NFL, Davis Mills. That was the logic.
The fact that, I mean, literally a week ago, we still had Mills Mafia truthers that were trying to tell us it was the fact he doesn't have enough around him.
Yeah.
It was the fact that the line's not doing their job the right way. You watched that game yesterday, no matter how high on the Mills Mafia chain you are, and you watch that, you realistically have a conversation with someone where you can defend him, then you don't know NFL football. Then you then find another sport and pick a new favorite player, because that's just so out of the realm of realism right now. When you watch the way he played, the way he continues, what did we say all offseason? Stop staring down receivers. Stop throwing, you know, everybody says he's got a strong arm. I get tired of all the NFL experts that talk to this scout or this coach or this guy or this personnel guy and say, they love Davis Mills. This guy's got all the tools. All the tools for what? To be Mr. Goodwrench? Are you going to fix my muffler? Are you going to throw a pass on an out route that's going to get to your receiver's hands before a defender takes it the other way? It's so frustrating, man.
Yeah. I mean, some people saw potential in Davis Mills last year. I saw potential of maybe a top 25-ish quarterback in the NFL. Right now, it doesn't look like that. Now, do I think that he should be benched? No. Like, why would you bench him? I love Kyle Allen. Go Cougs. Once a Coug, always a Coug. I love Kyle Allen. There's no point to play Kyle Allen. Do you think this team's suddenly going to be better if you play Kyle Allen? It might be, but you don't want to win. Like, there is zero incentive to make that move, and Lovie getting crushed over it's kind of odd. Now, I don't mind the questioning, and I love the entertainment value of it, and I knew it was coming. I remember watching Lovie Smith videos last year, because you know how they have the press conference, I think it's every Thursday, with the coordinators? Lovie Smith would get chippy with the media last year. So I knew that it was coming, and we've seen a little bit, like, I think he's been able to kind of stay away from it for the most part, but yesterday it came out, and it was awesome. I love it. It's the best drama we've had for the Texans all year. It's the best storyline we've had for the Texans all year. Has there been a better storyline for the Houston Texans so far this season on their 1-8-1 year through 10 games than Lovie Smith going toe-to-toe with Bryan T. Smith? It's the best thing that's happened to the Texans all year. The most entertaining thing. 713-780-ESPN, our HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham on Twitter. So, most entertaining you've seen from the Texans this year, what happened after the game, and also, did you stick around for the finish? Did you feel obligated, if you are a Houston Texans fan in this city, did you stick around for the finish? Did you feel obligated? Did you watch it all? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. I hope that if you did watch it all, you had some Gentle Ben by your side to make it at least somewhat enjoyable. The Texans game was lousy, but Gentle Ben's always so good, and the Gentle Ben can, you know, have influence on your afternoon more than the Texans can. Whether it's the vodka, the gin, the bourbon, they're all part of the rotation for me, and they should be for you as well. Gentle Ben uses a state-of-the-art, innovative, Percedo craft technology that makes their stuff better than anybody else's stuff in purity, aroma, and in taste. Purification of Gentle Ben, unrivaled. You'll love what's not in it. Try a sip of Gentle Ben, compare it to your brand. I did that, and ever since then, I've been a Gentle Ben man, and I think you will be too. So smooth, it is so clean, it eliminates the burn. Enjoy your drink. Don't work through your drink. That makes no sense. You can find Gentle Ben Vodka and Gin at Total Wine and Specs, also online at gentleben.com. And huge news is the bourbon now out on the market. The double platinum winner in the prestigious Ascot Awards this year can be found at 10 different spec locations in Houston. You can find it at the Specs in Galveston, Pearland Fine Wine in Pearland, Peter's Cut Rate in Angleton. Get your hands on that double platinum winner in the prestigious Ascot Awards, the Gentle Ben Bourbon. Sit back with good company and raise a glass to the very best Gentle Ben.
All teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Dick Willie standing on the Twitch table for Davis Mills. He's doing it from multiple accounts. Like, he's somehow texting on, or chatting in our Twitch from two accounts at the same time. I don't even know how that's humanly possible. Maybe phone, computer situation, maybe an iPad, tablet sitch. I don't know.
I mean this completely sincerely. He's had some hilarious stuff in the chat.
He's just defending Davis Mills, right?
Well, I mean, that's funny naturally, but
completely,
like,
blindly defending Davis Mills.
He's playing as poor as Karen Rodgers. I thought that was good.
That's a pretty good line.
And again, that's supposed to bother me when I've already told you guys numerous times I've already mailed in the season, but guess what? I've had like 20-some plus years of winning. It's okay. It's fine. I can accept it. Accept, embrace the suck. It'll be even. It'll be okay for you. You can have a great holiday season. It'd be cool.
Imagine living a life where you're defending Davis Mills, though, for a second. Like, could you imagine that? Like, could you imagine, like, especially in the position that you and I are in, because
yes.
We talk on the radio for 15 hours a week. Could you, and like, we tweet, we're interactive, we try to be. Could you imagine being in a position where you were trying to advocate for Davis Mills? Because there is still some people, like Dick Willie is an example. Now, Dick Willie's the extreme, let's be honest.
It's Richard.
But like, imagine being in a position where you're standing for Davis Mills. Hey, maybe you are and you're listening. You want to do that. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Now, we're not naive to think that Davis Mills is the only problem.
No.
That would be stupid. But Davis Mills is not the answer for a franchise. I was thinking about this last night, too. Like, people love to make the case of best available, which I understand. Like, I respect that logic and thought. It's really good to have a really good roster. Pat Mahomes went off last night, right? Like, he was playing Justin Herbert, who also had a very good game, in a conference that has Josh Allen. Like, if you don't get that quarterback, you're always going to be searching for that quarterback. Like, you have to get that quarterback and figure it out. So, like, you enter this draft for the Houston Texans in 23, I think you got to go quarterback route. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Bizzle, hey, what's up with the reporters asking to bench Mills? We stuck with him for the rest of the season. I agree. Like, once you pot commit yourself to Davis Mills and you don't sign a veteran backup, which you shouldn't have. Like, there's no reason they should be in the market for Jimmy Garoppolo or Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold in the offseason because the team was terrible. You want to see what the answer is for Davis Mills. But even though that Davis Mills has showed us that he's not the franchise quarterback of this team, you committed to 17 games with Davis Mills. You got to see it through at this point.
Right. No, you have to. And again, he's doing you a solid. You're doing him a solid. He's if he does start picking some things up, if he shows whether it's going to be here or somewhere else that he belongs in this league as a backup or a low-end starter on a team that is looking for a guy until they find the guy, you're doing him a solid by still allowing him to play every week. He's doing you a solid by bridging the gap until you get to your franchise quarterback or drafting who you think is going to be your franchise quarterback. And you keep the train moving forward, right? Because no matter what you do or don't do with Davis Mills, I believe it's a step back to make any kind of change in the middle of the season unless he's hurt, and you have to. And so you're developing him. You're seeing what you actually have. You're trying to find out what value he has, both internally and externally. And then you're planning on getting ready for a draft where you should be sitting high atop every single round to better yourself in so many different positions. Look, the team you just played for is a perfect example how if you draft correctly, not necessarily always at the quarterback position, but you can better your team in a short period of time. The way they drafted defensive linemen, the way they constructed that defensive front seven, they're showing you now, like, if you get those picks right and those players right, they can do some damage.
See, I would argue that, though. Like, I agree with that, but they also don't have their quarterback, so I don't take them seriously as a contender in the NFC. Yeah. Like, they're kind of a mediocre NFC team. Why? Because they have poor quarterback play. They're pretty good everywhere else, especially defensively. And they're going to finish around 500. They might get into the playoffs, and then they'll probably lose in the wild card round. Like, get the quarterback. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Did you stick around for the finish of that game, guys? Like, I was in an interesting situation. I was in Eugene, Oregon, so I didn't have the game. I couldn't watch the game. I was watching Red Zone Channel. Haven't had a chance to go back and watch the game in its entirety yet. I imagine that I will at some point because I'm a lunatic and want to watch every snap of the Texans for some reason. But did you stick around for the finish, Blankers, Brendan?
Second half was tough to watch. I was red zoning and checking back in periodically. But as other games got good, I was less and less paying attention to what was going on at NRG Stadium because it was a tough watch and it was depressing. And the fact that at least you could pick up on some of the positives of some of the players that you've drafted. And, you know, I guess I should have had the precursor when Petrie dropped the surefire interception to go, maybe it's not going to be our day.
I had a realization on Sunday. I think I've hit the point of the season where I'm no longer going to force myself to watch games once I know the story. I mean, I'm going to give them all a chance. But by halftime, I knew the story of this game. It didn't matter what happened in the second half, unless the Texans came back, which wasn't happening.
Sure.
The story of the game was that they didn't belong on the same field.
I understand that, and I think that this is a very popular opinion. Like, I watched the red zone snaps of this game because I was not in the market. I plan on going back at some point and watching this game, maybe with the days off over Thanksgiving. Why? Because I'm crazy. I'm a lunatic. I like to watch a bad product, I suppose. I just like to see.
It's your job too to
watch.
Yeah,
I want to see Lovie Smith. I want to see Davis Mills. I want to have that conversation. Like, I want to see. I heard Kenyon Green was a disaster in this game. Pass protection was brutal. Like, I want to see that. I think you have to know that. You know, to have this job, quite frankly. 713-780-ESPN. I watch every down, Brendan. So, like, even if I know the story, I want to see Damian Pierce get powerbombed. I want to see if Kenyon Green continues to struggle. Because part of it, too, is your evaluation going forward, right? Like, if you see every snap of Kenyon Green, you can try to have an understanding of where he's going to be next year. If you see every snap of Davis Mills, you can have an understanding of where he's going to be next year, although to Brendan's point, that story's been told. 713-780-ESPN, did you stick around for the finish? Did you watch that whole game? 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line, get Justin in here. Justin, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on?
What's going on, guys? I have been on board for a while on the Tankathon for the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, I had probably one of the most peaceful naps during Texans game this weekend. It was so relaxing. I knew within the first, 10 minutes of the game that we were going to get an L and keep our draft pick. So I took a nice little snooze. Thanks, guys.
So Justin is essentially saying instead of putting your iPod or putting your phone on waterfalls, rainstorms, and ocean sounds, all you have to do is put the Texans on and you can fall asleep within 5 minutes? I mean, because you know that some people that have problems sleeping, they put on the different, there's apps for that where you can hear just the crashing ocean and the sounds of the seagulls, and that'll make you drowsy. I mean, I guess it's a concept to think about because it was really from start to finish. I mean, normally, at least when I said the ultimate embrace the suck plan would be they're in the game, they're competitive, the younger players you've drafted are showing out and showing up and showing out and doing some things, but in the end they lose the game. So they keep you kind of involved. The fact that from almost the first snap, if not the first snap, definitely the first series, you got a clear indication this one was over. Yeah. It wasn't even going to be close. It allowed you to basically check out and do other things.
Justin said that he was able to take a nap. BH on Twitch said it's like watching golf. Whenever Justin said that I was able to take a nap watching this, I kind of had that
thought. Raheel used to always say that if you wanted to take a nap, he'd watch golf on TV.
Now, you get a major on. That's exhilarating.
watching golf on TV, but you know I like golf.
I mean, if it's like a Waste Management Open, pretty good nap viewing, right? If
Houston
it's the John Deere Classic.
In November?
Oh, no. I love the Houston Open. I hope Jim Crane's listening. I'd love to be employed by
Name the dates of the Houston Open next year.
Is it not the same?
I think they're trying to move it again, but it always it's been.
I don't think they've
around.
Been lucky.
It was
enough
ideal
to do
when it.
It
was the week before the Masters. Yeah, it's not so much in November.
It's a bad time on the golf calendar. 713-780 ESPN 713-780-3776. Did you get through that whole game? Did you watch that entire game yesterday? Is it okay to check out 0925? I'm not watching until they get serious! Exclamation point! This is the worst team in NFL history! Exclamation point! Brendan's over there shaking his head no.
He's been a Lions
This is a
fan.
Pretty bad team.
Yeah, they're bad. I
it's
mean,
a pretty
bad
team.
But I've watched some really bad teams. This is not the worst team in NFL history.
I mean, if they end up with one win on the season, they are in the conversation. I agree with you that we're probably prisoner in the moment. I agree with you that it's recency bias, not the worst team in NFL history. But
there's a team that ran the table the wrong way that
twice.
You're familiar
you
with.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think the worst, but in the conversation. Yeah, in the conversation. Now, they're not winning that argument. They're not winning that conversation, but in the conversation. 713-780-ESPN. Did you get through this whole game? 713-780-3776. A bunch of people are texting us about the Cowboys. Yeah, it was a good win for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
They beat Minnesota yesterday. That was all
Kirk
record.
Cousins still the quarterback of the Vikings?
He played poor.
Ooh,
he
boy.
Was really, really
And
bad
by the way,
game.
On the flip side, they turned 11 loose, and he had himself one hell of a day. Micah Parsons is a beast.
Yeah. To Justin's point real quick, like the embrace the suck thing, it really is a mindset. Like, it's so many things. It's the greatness of embrace the suck, but allowing the embrace the suck mindset to kick in, it allows you to chill. It allows you to relax. It allows you to sit back on a Sunday and not really care
really
about the
does.
Result. Actually, you're rooting more for a loss at this point.
It does. It actually allows yourself to have a more calm and accepting feeling of the fact that this isn't the end of the world. This is just a beginning chapter in what could be a long history that, you know, of a franchise that you know is going to get better if they continue to do what they're supposed to do.
Jed says, who is the worst team in NFL history? He says, wow, we have reached a new low in regards of football. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Alan, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Alan?
Hey, great show, guys. Hey, if Sunday doesn't tell you that we are just a baseball team, period.
Yeah, the city is the city's a baseball team, Alan. I agree with you. This is just a city full of a squad. The entire city's the local nine.
His turn is unbelievable.
Yeah, go Cougs.
Sylvester Turner's a Coug.
Yeah, he is. Now, look, we had this conversation during the postseason that this city is an Astros city. I don't think that there's any doubt, right? Like, this is not even up for debate. Like, a lot of times we build shows based on what does the city want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys
more Astros even in the offseason than Texans in the regular season, right? Which is a flip. Like, this game is turned upside down. This conversation is turned upside down in the city.
Did you guys see the stat that the Yordan, I don't remember exactly what it was.
Michael Schwab, like, the distance of his home run was like three times more in feet than what the Texans had in yards. I didn't see the exact tweet.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact thing either, but it was incredible.
I saw it. Like, I was kind of just, you know, looking at the timeline, but
that's the thing now. Did you see just to go real quick off topic, but did you see, because we're not going to talk about the Jets, that's Jake's job.
J-E-T-S.
Did
Jets,
you see
Jets,
the
Jets.
Fact that someone tweeted out yesterday the Jets average yardage in the second half was 2.75 inches?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Their average per down.
That sounds like the average Jets fan, though, if you think about it. Yeah. 2.75 inches.
Ow!
Marcus Jones, by the way. I'm glad you brought up
Coug.
That game, because Marcus Jones,
go
Cougs, greatest punt returner in NFL history. First punt return for a touchdown this year. I couldn't believe that. But Marcus Jones is great in the kick game. I was so happy to see
that. 5 seconds left.
Yeah, it wasn't a walk-off, I guess, right?
No, it was close. Oh, they almost finished with, it was like 16 seconds left when he received it, 5 seconds left on the clock when they kicked
off. That dude's a freak, man. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Straight Trash Homie presented by Vivia Dumpster Rentals. Where do we start? Well, you can help us, too. 713-780-3776. What trash did you see from the Texans yesterday? It's Straight Trash Homie presented by Vivia Dumpster Rentals.
Hey, right now I'll tell you about the good people at MyBookie. Look, I've been telling you about them for a long time. If you're looking to make the most uninteresting game, Texans, more interesting, there's a chance you could bet on them. And if you bet against Texans the last 2 weeks, you could have won big. The big thing is that you're looking for a place that keeps your money safe and secure, that takes care of you, the customer, that gives you the best chance to win in terms of having lots of marketing things going on where you get free plays. But if you win, you actually will get paid out. That's the kind of things that you get regularly at mybookie.ag. All you do is remember the promo code. It's bet975. When you get that promo code, you realize that that is the code to use to get the extras, the added benefits. Like right now, they're going to take up to $1,000, whatever deposit you put in, you're going to get half of that as an extra added bonus in your account. So up to $1,000. Let's say you put $1,000 in. You'll get an extra $500 in your account, so now you got $1,500 in your account. More money in your account, more games you can bet on, more chances to win. That's enough for me to shake the rattle. I mean, that's a big win for you. And then if you actually win the game, it could be even better. That's why I tell you to go there all the time. They've got crazy odds plays with the MyBookie money bag. They've got all different things going on, and it all starts with you getting signed up at mybookie.ag, putting in that promo code bet975, and then let the games begin. Because as I always tell you, you can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, and the only place I tell you to do it, it's mybookie.ag, and put in that promo code bet975.
Clean up on all fives.
Now that this week's game is in the books, let's do some cleaning up.
I want you to clean it up.
I want to trash, bags.
Clean it up.
It's Straight Trash, homie, with the Killer Bees. Brought to you by Vivia Dumpster Rentals.
All right, Straight Trash, homie, presented by Vivia Dumpster Rentals. Texans have made this segment very easy the entire year long. We have not had to search for much when it comes to Straight Trash, homie, presented by Vivia Dumpster Rentals, because the Texans have been just that, 1-8-1 on the year. 713-780-ESPN. If you want to text in some straight trash, 713-780-3776. What you got for us, Blankers?
Well,
lead us off.
Mr. Branham, I have avoided all season long taking the easy one, the layup, the home run, slow pitch softball.
Boring.
But I'm going to take Davis Mills on this one because there's no candy coating it anymore. It just goes from bad to worse to even worse than that. And it's just so annoying to hear the people that are still trying to hang on to a thread and defend this guy and say, oh, there's not enough talent around him. And you know what? It's not fair to judge him this year with a guy that can't call the right plays for him. No, it's about a guy that looks like he's scared to death, that looks like he's constantly worried about either getting hit or he's staring down a receiver thinking that the defense isn't going to be. I know he's a smart guy. I don't know if you know this or not, but he's a smart guy.
I hate that.
So he's a really smart guy that thinks that he's smarter than the defense. So if he stares at a receiver, it means they think he's not going to throw exactly where he's staring. And then he throws exactly where he's staring and they pick it off and they get 6 free points. I'm so tired of hearing people try and say he's okay. He's not. He's perfect for this season, but he's not okay. And he's not a starting quarterback in this league. And he is a reason almost every single week why you lose. And he was a big reason why they lost yesterday.
Yeah. I think that everybody goes to Stanford's a smart guy, straight trash homie.
Has AJ ever been, Hinch is on line one.
That's fine. He's smart
guy.
But has there ever been anybody that has went to Stanford who is not smart? 713-7803. Is it possible?
Ooh, I got one. I'm
is it
say
possible
it.
That anybody who has ever went to Stanford is not that intelligent?
Maybe some of the early days of Stanford.
When it first began. The founders of that university there in Palo Alto. Yeah, everybody that's went to Stanford's automatically brilliant. I want to piggyback on the Davis Mills one. Because what is bad, obviously, is his production on the field. This whole straight trash homie might just be dedicated to Davis Mills because of Dick Willie, just for Dick Willie. But
so you unblocked
how he handles press conferences. Yeah, I was listening to Davis Mills' press conference in the wee hours of today, and look, his performance on the field is the worst. But listen to this press conference. It's excuse after excuse after excuse. And we've played sound in the past where it's like Davis Mills is throwing some maybe not so low-key shade towards Pep Hamilton and the way that this offense is run. Threw some shade a little bit last week, too, about how they need to be more aggressive from the start. I pulled four little bullet points about Davis Mills' press conference here that are straight trash, homie, presented by Vivia Dumpster Rentals. The first thing that he said was, win our one-on-one matchups up front. Look, you're probably right. Probably that is a factor in that game yesterday, but as a quarterback, you cannot say those things. You cannot redirect the blame and put it on your offensive line. Are you right? Yeah, you're probably right because you went to Stanford and you're really smart. But as the quarterback, you cannot say that. Secondly, he said, we have to run the ball better. Are you right? Yeah, you're right. You had 21 yards on 16 carries yesterday. And you were the leading rusher. But as the quarterback, you cannot say that. You're redirecting blame. Third, he said that the offense needs to be more creative. If that's not a shot at the offensive coordinator, what is?
Yep. Yeah, and he's been doing that all year. It's got to be more about, you know, he's just running the system that's of the plays that's called for him. But, you know, he's been constantly trying to deflect. And Zach Wilson will tell you how that's not going to work out either if he's trying to copy. You know, he's a smart guy. So Zach might be copying Davis Mills now, trying to think that's a way to cop out of it. It's not. And it's an awful look by a guy. I mean, the one thing is that we heard so many of the national types that we have on this show talk about someone they knew and someone that watched him that said, this guy's got talent. This guy's got all the tools. Well, guess what? He doesn't have a toolbox, and Mr. Goodwrench has got tools falling out all over the place, and he can't even fix a flat tire. And half the time, it's self-inflicted flat tire because he ran over a bottle and then wanted to blame the freaking person at the convenience store didn't throw away their trash. Well, we're throwing away the trash, and it starts with straight trash, homie Davis Mills, period. End of story.
Yeah. The last thing he said was hard to throw the ball on obvious passing downs. No one wants to hear that, Davis Mills. Like, everybody's talking about benching you, and you're making excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse when you were 19 of 33 for less than 170 yards and threw two interceptions.
That one was easy for me, Jeremy. This one's a little tougher.
All right.
Kenyon Green, first-round pick. Kenyon Green,
good friend of the show.
Kenyon Green came in the studio after he was drafted and did us a solid and spent a good period of time talking with us. Great kid, and I expect great things, but I expected greater things maybe going too far too fast for this year. He looked terrible yesterday, and he did not play well. And you hope that it's just growing pains, and he's going to eventually get better, and he's going to pick up the things that he needs to pick up, and he's going to progress. But for this season, which is full of growing pains and learning experiences, he learned a lot, and we struggled a lot watching him play yesterday.
Yeah, he was abused. And he's been manhandled the last few games. Like, he's been being pushed back. One of the strengths that we give to him is, like, his run block ability. There was nobody run blocking yesterday. Wasn't a good scheme. Wasn't good execution up front. I put zero blame on Damian Pierce, obviously. He had nowhere to run in that game. But that one's frustrating because also it was kind of weird to take a guard there, right? Like, you trade down. A lot of people wanted Kyle Hamilton at the time. I'm fine not taking Kyle Hamilton and then later getting Jalen Petrie if we want to have a big picture view. Drafting a guard, though, in the teens of the NFL draft, 15th is where he was picked, kind of outside the box thinking. And then if you look at some of the other linemen that were drafted after Kenyon Green in this past draft, you have the Smith guy who went to the Cowboys. They drafted him as a guard because of injury. They had to move him outside to tackle. He's been really good. Yep. Cole Strange was this weird draft pick by the Patriots. He's been very good. And the name's blanking on the center. Lindbaum in Baltimore. Yep. He's been really good. So if you look at the offensive linemen that were drafted as interior offensive linemen, Smith went to Dallas. They had to move him out to tackle. But everybody drafted in the first round after Kenyon Green's been really good. Kenyon Green's been not very good as a rookie. We've been saying you can't win with rookies, and we hope that he develops. But as of now, like, we've had the Stingley Sauce Gardner conversation, which Sauce has had a better year. I'm not quite sure that Sauce is a far better player. The Texans' defensive scheme puts a governor on Derek Stingley Jr. But we haven't really had the conversation about Kenyon Green versus Cole Strange versus Tyler Lindenbaum, where it's probably time to have that conversation because Kenyon Green has not had the resume of those guys. And I feel more confident saying that he doesn't have the talent of those guys as opposed to the Stingley Sauce Gardner conversation.
No, yeah, and you know what? That's fair. It's very fair because we said all season long we already knew what the writing on the whiteboard wall was going to be, which was Sauce versus Stingley, and to find out, you know, who was going to perform better. And it was easy and it was obvious. It wasn't so obvious with Green. And like you said, that's very high to take a guard. When you look at him, though,
you know, and you knew that he was an unbelievable run blocker at A&M. And you figured, hey, you know what? He's going to pick up some things along the way. It might take him a little bit, but he's not going to look outmatched and just get completely, you know, bum rushed and bowled over like he has the last several weeks. That's almost embarrassing. And so you figure, you know what? You looked at him before and he's not like a muscular physical specimen. You figure he's going to get stronger. Yep. He's going to learn the NFL game. There's still plenty of time for that. But this is why we said in so many ways, so many players are, you're going to find out who they are, but you're also going to have, like we said with Stingley, when we assumed he was going to see more man-to-man. Hey, he's going to get cooked on some plays.
Yeah.
He's going to make some plays too.
Stingley's been good in man-to-man. Yeah. He just hasn't played a whole lot of man-to-man. I'm not going to say that Stingley is a lesser talent than Sauce Gardner right now. He's having a lesser rookie year because Gardner's been put in more positions. Kenyon Green, look, I still think he has high potential. I still think he's going to be a good football player. But would you rather have Kenyon Green or Zion Johnson from the Chargers? Would you rather have Kenyon Green or Tyler Smith of the Cowboys? Would you rather have Kenyon Green or Tyler Linderbaum of the Baltimore Ravens? Center, not a guard, but a center. And then Cole Strange of the Patriots. You're probably picking the other guys. 713-780-ESPN. Straight Trash Homie. 4488. How can the Hive contribute to Straight Trash Homie when we aren't watching the games? Go Cougs. Touche. 4488. 713-780-ESPN. The HRMP listener line. 713-780-3776. The matches of the World Cup are underway. It is kicked off in Qatar. How do you watch the World Cup? You a USA only guy. You not watch until after group play. Once they get to the knockout stage, you watch in every match, all 90 minutes of every match, plus stoppage time, 8 minutes in the last one, by the way. That's nuts. How are you watching the World Cup? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Vivia. Look, you might be doing some construction on your house, some renovations. You might be doing some cleaning and cleaning out the garage or the attic, and you thought about all the things that you needed to clean out. You just didn't think about what to do with all the stuff that you cleaned out. Now, you don't have to. You just go Vivia. GoVivia.com, GOVAVIA.com, and they will take care of all of it for you. Vivia is the master and expert when it comes to dumpster rentals. And it's very, very simple and easy. You schedule with them an appointment and say, I need a dumpster. And you know what? Whether it be a 10-foot or 15-foot rollaway dumpster, they've got them for you. And when you get them, you're going to find out that, hey, look, they are easy to look at. They are easy on your HOA's eyes as well. The curb appeal is still there. They fit beautifully in your driveway. And the most important thing, you can schedule it so that they can drop it off in the morning, pick it up at night, take care of all the details so they take out the trash for you and you don't have to do a thing. It's fantastic. Project managers, same thing for you. Texas Custom Patios uses Vivia for all of their dumpster needs to get rid of all their waste and extras when they're doing commercial projects. Commercial project managers, all you got to do is reach out. They're going to take care of you every step of the way. We even use them at our ESPN golf tournament and they are fantastic. You got to tell them that ESPN sent you by because we believe in Vivia and you will too. Next time you've got something going on, like maybe right now, just go to the website, GOVAVIA.com. That's govavia.com, or you can call them 832-699-1555 and set up an appointment to get that dumpster delivered. Don't let an ugly dumpster ruin your home's curb appeal. Get to Vivia, govavia.com.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Very busy Saturday over at campus coming up this week. U of H, of course. University of Houston taking on Tulsa on the gridiron this weekend as we celebrate senior night. We're going to give away two pairs of tickets to the U of H game on Saturday. November 26th, games at 6:30 p.m. So giving away a pair of tickets, two pair of tickets, right now to caller number 3 and caller number 5 to 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Caller 3, caller 5 wins a pair of tickets to go watch Houston at Tulsa this Saturday for senior day. Cougars coming off a good victory, playing some good football. You can also purchase the family four-pack, four tickets, four hot dogs, four chips, and four regular sodas for just $96. Go to uhcougars.com/promo. Enter promo code TULSA4PACK or call 713-GO-COUG. Say Branham sent you to get your tickets today. That's going to be a busy day on Saturday. You got football at 6:30. Cougars trying to get to 8 wins, which just came off their most impressive performance against East Carolina. Dominating win, 42-3. That was awesome to watch. And then basketball plays at 1:30.
Now, you didn't do
trying
football
to go 6-0. I couldn't make it to Green. I couldn't find a way to get from Greenville Saturday.
I was thinking
to
about
Eugene on Sunday. I tried to find a way. It was too risky.
I was thinking about your travel going, Mike, if you had to go across the country like that, that's dedication.
I tried. It just it wasn't in the cards. It was not in the cards. 713-780-ESPN. World Cup is underway. The U.S. men's national team plays in 12 minutes. Their starting 11 has already been announced. Play Wales today. How do you take in the World Cup? How do you watch the World Cup? Do you, you know, you're not a soccer guy, you don't watch? Watch the U.S. men's national team. Don't watch until the knockout stage. Watch every game that you can. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. How do you watch the World Cup, Blankers?
I watch just USA games when they're on. And, I mean, I obviously I want them to do well, and I follow that portion of it. And then if it's a big game as we get close to, you know, finding out who the winner is going to be. I mean, look, Glenn Davis is the foremost expert on soccer, and he's a good friend of mine, and I love his passion for the game. And he can fire me up by breaking it all down for me. I want the USA to do well. But other than that, it's just a passing interest. I've never been a big soccer fan. I admit it. But I obviously want USA to do well. And, I will peep their matches. But other than that, you know, maybe the World Cup final.
I'm a huge soccer fanatic. Love football. Love the beautiful game. 3 years as the radio guy for the Houston Dynamo. 2017 best play-by-play voice in the city of Houston for my work with the Houston Dynamo.
Who gave you that?
Houston Press. Oh. Houston Press, yeah.
Top.
That's me patting myself on the back.
It's very unlike you to do that, by the way. But
I was talking because I was trying to establish me as the authority of soccer in this city.
Next to Glenn Davis.
Secondary authority. No, exactly. Like, I want to be his right-hand man.
Okay.
Like, that's what I would like to be. I'd like to be his number two.
You want to be his right-hand. You want to be his right-hand.
Here's the thing. Like, I've never been able to get into, Premier League, Bundesliga. I can never get into the club's teams, like, for whatever reason. Maybe it's because it's overseas. It's a weird time of year. It's early in the mornings. I've tried hard to find teams. The closest I ever came was Tottenham. Come on, you Spurs. But I've always loved international soccer. I will watch every World Cup match that I physically can. Like, if I'm not, like, today it's tough because, you know, I'm working, mm-hmm. but during prep, watching it. On the way into work, I was listening to
really?
It. As soon as I got to the radio station, put it on the Netherlands
Does
match.
Does Paul know that?
Paul?
You're not listening to Paul Gallant, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston?
Not during the World Cup. Oof. Not during the World Cup. I apologize, Paul, but I'm listening to the World Cup. I love the World Cup. I think it's awesome.
Jimmy
I think
was
it's great.
Deeply invested when
I
he got
love
in.
It. I love it. I'm a huge World
Cup. Are
you
betting on it?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes.
I think...
I'm not betting... Well, yeah, kind of both. Yes, and I also have a pool that I'm
okay.
in. I also have a pool that I'm in. But I would still watch it anyways. It's not the reason.
I'm just asking, though.
Yeah, that's a fair question.
It's not super common that there's games on during our prep time, but every once in a while, I don't think I've ever seen Jeremy as invested as he was in. I don't even know what two teams were playing.
Yeah, and it's Netherlands and Senegal.
And he told me that earlier.
It was 0-0 at the half.
But he was invested.
Yeah. Snoop Dogg's coaching the Senegal? Their coach had a Snoop Dogg-type look. He had a flat-brimmed hat. And
my guess is no. That SNOOPDOGZ is not the gaffer for Senegal. Okay. Just a guess, though. Just a guess. 713-780-ESPN. How are you watching the World Cup? 713-780-3776. Eric the Driver says, put it on for background noise. Might watch the finals. Where's your patriotism, Eric the Driver? You might as well just drive right out of this country with that kind of logic. Brendan, how are you watching the World Cup?
I'll be tuning to every U.S. game that I can. That will probably mostly be it. I mean, when it was, like, when I had cable and channel surfing was a thing, it was definitely, I would compare it to the Olympics. You throw it on in the background from time to time. I don't know that I'm going to go out of my way to watch anything that's not U.S. related.
Yeah. Going out of your way is a little different. Now, if you have, like, a messy match or, you know, like, Benzema's out, he's going to be out for the World Cup, which is a huge loss. But, like, there's certain star players that I'll make sure to tune in.
Is U.S. going to make it out of the group?
No.
Okay, is today the big difference maker?
I didn't want to go here.
Oh, I don't want to go. I don't want to get super deep.
Well, if Gareth Bale in Wales is their victim, do they have a chance?
But Joel and I don't know anything, right?
So yeah, if they win today, obviously they have a shot.
Speak for yourself, sir. I know less than anything.
The bet I made today for the U.S. game was actually the draw. I was getting plus money on a draw, so I'm playing the draw. Do we want to go Benedict Branham here? Like, I didn't want to go Benedict Branham here, but we can go Benedict Branham here.
Let's go there.
Yeah, I placed a wager on the U.S. men's national team failing to make it out of group. I made a wager on the U.S. men's national team that they will not get out of the group.
But you're not rooting for that, right? Like, you're
It's I'm betting with my head, not my heart. It's also an emotional hedge where if I lose the bet, I'm happy to lose the bet. I want the U.S. to get to the knockout stage, make a run, which obviously I don't think is very likely. I want to lose the bet.
Nothing wrong with that.
I want to lose the bet, but I'm betting with my head and I'm rooting for my heart when it comes to the U.S. men's national team. One thing that I'm really annoyed about, though, is with all these matches in Qatar, that the timing, the times of these are terrible. Like, the U.S. men's national team is coming onto the pitch right now as they get set to play in 7 minutes. We're not going to be able to really watch this match a whole lot. We're going to miss a lot of action.
Yeah, and you know what? I hope the USA wins. But like you said, we've got a bigger fish to fry. We got to do a job here. And I'm pulling for the USA. And at least they made the World Cup this year. I mean, you know, that's a step in the right direction. But for the most part, you know, I know the big names and I know the big teams, but I mean, I wish it was a lot better scenario for the United States to have a chance to win it all, but that's about as far as I can go.
6133, respectfully, Eric the driver needs to drive his butt up on out of here. This is the world's game. He's right. I saw numbers on, like, the Super Bowl viewing is, like, I think seven. I can't remember the exact. I think it was 171 million people watched the Super Bowl. Like, 1.8 billion watched the World Cup.
I mean, it is the world's game. There's no disputing.
But it's crazy. The numbers are astonishing.
Yeah, and like you said, like, I didn't realize, and then it was, obviously it wasn't always this way, but more and more, the people that I would think would be the most casual or uninterested fans are the ones that are the most passionate around here. Like, I know Craig Ackerman is a big, not Man United.
Manchester City?
Yeah, Manchester City. Lance is a big soccer fan.
Who's his team? Is it Chelsea?
I'm not sure, because Dell is obviously a big soccer fan. But the thing that really got to me was all the Rockets players that were big soccer fans, James Harden, Clint Capella, and Trevor Ariza and Jason Terry back in the day. And before games and on airplanes, on flights, it wasn't about playing Madden. It wasn't about, they would have like the most passionate screaming, yelling FIFA games going on in the back of the plane.
FIFA's the greatest sports video game ever made. And I think that sports is a distant fourth when it comes to football, basketball, baseball.
When
FIFA's
I tell you,
amazing.
That time amazing. Between the pre-game warm-ups before the doors open.
Yeah.
And the layup lines begin. That time in between before the coach talks to the team. The guys on the big screen in the equipment room were having money games on FIFA. And they were big, massive fans of their teams and their players. And soccer, and I did not realize it was that big of a deal to so many people.
Well, back in my bachelor days, I would partake in a few money FIFA games.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, I probably wasn't very good. This was just amongst friends. But yeah, I would take part in a few money
Trevor
FIFA
Ariza
games.
Trevor Ariza and Jason Terry having a knockdown dragout FIFA game
FIFA's
before
awesome,
a game.
Man.
I didn't see that coming.
FIFA is the best sports video game ever made. And I'm like, I like soccer, but I wouldn't put soccer ahead of football, basketball, baseball. But when it comes to the video game, it's absolutely the very best. 713-780-ESPN 3364. The World Cup isn't till tonight. Wink, wink. Great point. I forgot to mention that the U.S. men's national team kicks off at 3:05. Today, as they take on Wales in group stage of the World Cup. 5272 coming up with way too many logical soccer takes. We have many players on major European squads in a way we never have before. While that is true, I counted the starting 11 today, and there are five guys in the starting 11 that I have broadcasted their games in MLS action, which
is that a good
I'm
thing?
Not taking as a positive.
Okay.
I'm not taking as a positive. Like, if I've called your matches in the MLS and you're getting a World Cup cap, I don't know if that's great. Lance is a fan of Fulham, by the way.
I set Gareth Bale up with golf.
Did you really?
When he was in Texas, and then he bailed on me. See what I did
he
there?
He bailed.
He bailed on me because he was questionable with an injury and thought it'd be a bad look if he golfed all day and then didn't play that night.
That's not surprising from Gareth Bale.
Didn't realize he makes about $40 million a year.
Yeah, he's in the MLS now.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. When LA came here to play Houston and Austin.
He makes $40 million at LAFC?
I don't know. No, I think his yearly earnings.
I was about to
are
say.
Still, I guess, fairly high.
They call the MLS the retirement tour. Once you made your money in Europe, you come over to the Americas and America.
But they fly commercial, because my buddy's the equipment manager for his team, and said, like, you know, they fly commercial, and sometimes he'll fly himself private, and
Yeah, the budget is not there in terms of, I don't know what they're paying the players, but maybe they're paying them all the money and they don't have the money to fly.
They'll get some stars every now and then. I mean, Beckham's, Latan.
Yeah.
They got Gareth now. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. A lot of talk that Justin Verlander is being courted by some of these bigger market teams. What is the worst team for Justin Verlander to leave for? What can you not live with? 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.